Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And I just want to say hello from all of us. It's good to be back here and see all of you again. And we are excited about what God is doing in our days here. My wife and family is in the back row. If you've not seen them yet, say hi to them. So Liz and the kids are all back there. And we've been doing well. You've probably been wondering, how have the Brubakers been doing up in Ramey, up there at camp? And things have been going well. We've been busy. And I think we passed day number 40 with the homeschool. So Liz is clapping and rejoicing in the Lord in that. And so she's been busy with homeschooling. And I've been busy with different projects around the camp as normal. I've been working on the... We have a bunch of mowing to do for the men's retreat this weekend, and so I'll be busy with that this week. But between the various camp responsibilities that we've been trying to accomplish up there, I've also been involved with evangelism ministry lately, and I just want to mention that here for a moment because I want each of you, if you would, to take one of these home. You say, well, what's that, Dan? That is Hope for America Area-Wide Crusade, a bookmark. And it's just a simple thing that if you would grab one of those and pray about this event, that would be a blessing to our ministry that the Lord's called us into in evangelism. And that is something that we're currently doing and ministering in. And I haven't sent out many updates lately to you folks back home, but this is something that has been coming together for over a year with evangelist Chris Miller. So you all know him. He's been here. And Brother Miller has been organizing an area-wide crusade, and it's actually just south of where the camp is in Altoona, Pennsylvania. There's a number of churches who have come together to put on this crusade. And I mention it because I ask that you would pray if you're thinking of us, the Brubakers up there. This is what we're doing right now in some of our ministry endeavors, and the Hope for America crusade is starting next Sunday. And so that's what we'll be doing next week, the 13th through the 18th. And it's exciting and amazing to see the Lord putting some of these things together, and already have seen a few people saved, I understand, through the canvassing and the outreach and preparation for the crusade. And I don't want to take a lot of time talking about it, but here's a reminder. If you're praying for us, grab one of these tonight and put that in your Bible and pray for that event, because we are asking the Lord to save individuals up there in that area and also bring revival to the churches who are all involved. And so that's just something that we're involved in right now, and we're excited about seeing the Lord work. And that's basically what's going on in our lives right now. Other than, of course, the obvious of us being here. So we're glad to be here and just excited to see God lead and to make his will clear to all of us. You're in 1 Kings chapter 19 now. And let's get into the message that I believe the Lord would have for us tonight. This is the passage where Elijah the prophet was going through a very difficult time in his life. And I was wondering, what am I going to preach on this Sunday night? It was Friday afternoon, I think, Pastor and I were on the phone, and the decision was made that we'll come this night and preach and everything. And I told him on the phone, I only have so many messages, and Faith Bible Church has heard everything, and so if we come, I got to get something together. Dad, I guess you know about that, don't you? A little bit. And I was so blessed of the Lord when he gave me clearance to just go to this passage tonight. Because preaching this past summer, I have gotten a few new messages for the campers. And so I feel that the Lord would have me share one of those messages with you tonight. And I was thinking, how does this apply to now where we're at Faith Bible Church? This isn't camp. We're not teaching the teenagers. So how does this apply? And the Lord put this on my heart very quickly after it was decided we were coming. And so I'm excited to see how the Lord worked through that and to share it with you. And this passage is, as I said, a time in Elijah's life where he was going through a very difficult time. You remember on chapter 18 was Mount Carmel. And the story of how Elijah was there and saw God bless. And I've probably preached on that passage here already. I've preached out of these two passages often. But God did an amazing thing there in chapter 18, did he not? Boy, he showed his power. And the one true God was seen when the fire fell from heaven. It burned up the sacrifice, burned up the stones, the altar, and licked up the water that was in the trenches. And just an amazing thing happened in chapter 18. But then in chapter 19, you remember how Elijah was running for his life. Verse 1 says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there." And so we find the man of God, Elijah here, a much different person. But we find him a person. We find him just like you and I, actually, and how he was struggling. He was going through an emotional roller coaster and found himself now his life being threatened, and he's running for his life. And during this time, here in chapter 19, we find that he saw some specific truths that God was trying to show him, and it made all the difference, and it got him back on track. And I would like to share a message tonight entitled, "Go, Return on Thy Way and Obey." Go, return on thy way and obey. I think back over the history of Faith Bible Church, and growing up here, I can remember a bunch of it, not all of it, because I wasn't alive for the entire history of this church, but I can remember a lot of it, and think back over the years, and some of the things that I saw God do here, and remember the people, and the faces, and the times of when God worked, and times of praising the Lord. I remember times where it was difficult. I remember times where I didn't quite know exactly what was going to be the outcome of what was happening at Faith Bible Church. And I think back over the history of Faith Bible Church, and I see positives, I see negatives, and I look into the future, and I'm excited about what God can do here. And the message tonight to Faith Bible Church, as it was to Elijah, is go, return on thy way, and obey. You see, Elijah came from a place where there was a lot of victory, and God's power was evident. But then he was in a time where he was struggling, and God's answer to him was, go back to where you're supposed to be now. Go back, get on track, and do what's right. Do my will. Do what I've called you to do. And this has been a challenge to me, and I trust it will be to you as well as we learn from God's word. Can we pause and pray now and ask for God's help? Lord, thank you for this evening service that you've brought us all to. We thank you that you have a perfect plan, and your will is always good. And Lord, we want to seek your will. We want to obey and do what's right. We want to do what you've called us to do. And so, Lord, I pray that you would light a fire in our hearts. There may be times when we are discouraged like Elijah, and we need that revival to happen there, that life again. And we need to go back to where you want us to be and obey. And, Lord, I pray that you would do that in my heart. I pray that you would do that in the hearts of my friends here and here at this church. Lord, that you would revive us, that you would cause us to go forward with a fire restored in our heart to serve you and to do whatever you've called us to do. Lord, would you do that, we pray, for your glory. And I ask that you would help in this message, that that this passage would be opened up to us by your Spirit, and that you would just control this time together. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Elijah had to make a choice. You see, either he would stay in this place of defeat, of discouragement, of hopelessness, or he would accept the truths that God was trying to show him here in this passage and go out and act upon them. And as we think about life in general, as we think about living for the Lord, we have to receive God's truths. And we must set out to obey him with everything in our lives. You and I must depend upon, first of all, the truth of God's provision. Number one, the truth of God's provision. Let's continue in the passage here, and we'll see this coming out in the following verses from verse 4. It says in verse 4, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, 'It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers.' And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, 'Arise and eat.' And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.' And he arose, and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God." God provided for Elijah. You understand that Elijah had been running for his life, first of all, probably not a good time to stop, make a campfire, and cook a hamburger. Okay, he didn't have time for that. He was running for his life, and so he was not getting the physical nourishment that he needed. You think back in chapter 18, and all that happened on top of Mount Carmel. Again, no hamburger, okay? There wasn't time for that kind of thing. And he was physically worn out, and he had not had the nourishment that he needed. I remember in chapter 18 how he ran ahead of the chariot of Ahab, all the way back to Jezreel. Okay, this guy was really putting forth the effort and the strength, the physical strength, and at this point now, he was completely worn out. Physically, emotionally, sitting under a juniper tree. And God knew that. God saw what he needed, and God provided everything that he needed. He sent an angel and began to provide the physical nourishment, the food to eat, the cruse of water to drink, and all these things were provided to Elijah because he needed it. And the truth is, friends, God has promised you and I to provide everything we need. The truth of God's provision. God gave to Elijah the nourishment that he needed to go and do the will of God. And it says how he went and did that. We'll read about that later. But I think of, first of all, the Word of God when it comes to God's provision. We have to remember, God's Word is the nourishment that we need. It has the answers. It has the truth there for us to answer the questions. Isn't that a blessed thing? God's promised to do that, and he has. He's given us everything we need. The provision is there, and God's Word has the answers to your problems. God's Word has the answers to my problems. The Bible contains all the guidance that you and I need to live our lives for the glory of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says there how God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, it's useful for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I like how other preachers say that. It's for knowing what is right, knowing how to get right, knowing what is wrong, knowing how to get right, and how to stay right. Okay, that's simple for me. I like that. And that's what the Word of God provides for us. It's profitable for all those things that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So to be able to do all the good works, how am I going to make that happen? Well, God's Word has the answers for that. Everything I need is provided to me right there. The truth of God's provision. God's going to provide for Faith Bible Church. God's going to provide for Servant's Heart Camp. God's going to provide for the Hope for America Crusade. He's promised, it's a truth, that He will meet our needs. Now, sometimes I've lived long enough to realize that when I think I have a need, God doesn't necessarily provide it when I think I should have it. But He's still promised to provide. And is He not always faithful? Oh, yes, He is. He knows what our needs are, and in His perfect timing, He promises to provide those needs. And so this was a truth that Elijah needed to see. In his time of defeat, in his time of hopelessness, in a time when that revival fire needed to be rekindled in his heart, and that energy needed to return for him to go and do what God had called him to do, he needed to see this truth of God's provision. And that's why God took time to show it to him. He had to go and depend upon that truth. God, you said you're going to meet my needs. God, you're going to provide. God's told us that. And we, whatever God's called us to do, must move forward in dependence upon the truth of God's provision. Number two, we must depend upon the truth of God's power. Depend upon the truth of God's power. I love this in verses 11 through 12 now. Verses 11 and 12, well, let's take it in verse 9 as we continue down through the story. Verse 9, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thine covenant, thrown down thine altar, thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And here was God's response. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. When I see God showing all his power to Elijah like that, it helps me realize this was something God was trying to really get through to him. This was something that God was trying to really help Elijah see. Elijah, I'm still in control. Elijah, my power has not diminished. You saw what happened on top of Mount Carmel. Look, I can still do that. I didn't use up some of my power there, and now I can't do as much. It's still the same God between chapter 18 and chapter 19. And between whatever year BC and 2020. It's still the same God. And we have to depend upon this same truth that Elijah had to move forward for God, knowing God's power is still available. It's not changed. It's not diminished. And it's only His power that can provide us with the victory. Whatever you may be facing in life, it's only His power that's going to carry you through it. Whatever temptation you may face in life, it's only His power that's going to get you onto the other side without committing the sin. Whatever it is that you're facing concerning the will of God in your life, it's only His power that's going to enable you to have the understanding that you need to have to make the right choice. It's the truth of God's power that we must depend upon. And Elijah needed to see that in his time as well. Only the power of God can provide you with the victory. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't it amazing? God is just ready all the time to give us the grace we need. He just wants us to turn to Him. He wants us to look to Him as our Heavenly Father and say, Daddy, I need you. In reverence, of course. But I need you. I understand. I cannot gain the victory on my own. I can't do what's right on my own. I cannot have the understanding I need on my own. I need your power, your wisdom, your grace to carry me through. John 15, verses 4 through 5. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. You see, Elijah, if he tried to continue on from this point, from Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, it's amazing that God took him back to that place. If he tried to go on from that point in his own strength, he was going to be able to do nothing. And so he had to get this truth. It had to get through to him, the truth of God's power. And he had to go forth depending upon that truth. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. I like that verse for this reason. Trust in the Lord, teaching me I need to depend upon his strength. I need to have faith in him, not my own understanding. Trust in the Lord and do good. You see, there's some people who get confused thinking, okay, if I'm going to trust in the Lord, if I'm going to wait upon the Lord, if I'm going to have faith in him and live in dependence upon his strength, then that's all I have to do. But that's kind of twisting things and mixing it up. It's and do good. You see, there is still human responsibility. You still have to make the right choice. Yes, you depend upon him, and you do not depend upon your own strength, but you also got to take that step. You've also got to move forward for God. You also got to make the choice that I am going to be responsible and do what God has told me to do. You see, trust in the Lord and do good. We don't just sit around waiting for God. We do what he's told us we should be doing. And so we must depend upon the truth of God's power. We must depend upon the truth of God's provision. And then thirdly here, we have 4 points tonight. Thirdly, the truth of God's purpose. The truth of God's purpose. God has a special plan. He has a special plan for each of our lives. He has a special plan for Faith Bible Church. He has a special plan. And he is sovereign. He is in control. He's working all things together for his good purpose. He just got done showing Elijah, I'm in control. I have the power. I can bring all this fire and earthquake and wind and show the greatness and the majesty of my power and then still control it all by bringing it all down to a still small voice. You see, it doesn't get out of my control, Elijah. It's like what God was teaching to him. And then he begins to show him, I still have a purpose for you. I've given you something to do. I've called you to do it. And Elijah needed to see that truth, the truth of God's purpose, that he had a special plan for him still. And we see that in verses 15 through 16. Verses 15 through 16 there. Let's skip up to where we left off, verses 13. And when it came, and it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And then we see the truth of God's purpose here. And I love this because, you understand, Elijah just repeated what he said earlier. I've been very jealous for you, Lord, and I'm the only one left. And it's as if our Heavenly Father said, That's good. Now go, return on thy way. You see, that's what he said here in the next verse. Where'd it go? And the Lord, verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And let's continue on, because it continues to show God's purpose in all of this. And it shall come to pass that he that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. You see, God had a purpose in all this. He was working it all together, and he had a perfect plan. And he said, Elijah, go on thy way. Return on thy way and obey. Go and do this and do that and take care of that. Go, return on thy way. You see, God didn't take time for Elijah's complaining. It was irrelevant. It was useless. Elijah's response there, I'm the only one left. I've been doing the right thing, and now it's all turning sour, and God, it's terrible. And God didn't even deal with that. He said, I've given you the truths. I've shown you the truth that you need to depend upon. Get it and go with it. Go, return on thy way and obey. And when I think about that, I think, boy, you know, Elijah needed to get that revival fire back in his heart. He needed to realize these are the truths that God is. And this is what I must depend upon. Now, that's something to be excited about. That's something to give me energy. He was lacking energy. He felt hopeless. His emotions were shot. His physical body was worn out. He needed that fire back in there, and God showed him the truths that would do it. I'm going to provide for you all your needs. I'm going to supply you with the power that is needed to do my will in your life. I have a special plan. I'm working it all together, and here's your next steps. You see, we must depend upon these same truths in our lives. God has a special plan for each one of us. And everything we're involved in, He has a special plan in all of those things. There are specific things that He wants you to accomplish in your life. And you must choose to take His purpose for your life. You must make His purpose for your life your purpose for living. So we see in verses 15 through 16 that God gave Elijah these three specific things that he was supposed to go and do. One had to do with Hazael, one had to do with Jehu, and the other was Elisha. So he was supposed to go and appoint these people in their places, and then God was going to use them to bring judgment upon those who had turned away from him, and so forth. It's interesting, Elijah only ever actually went and accomplished one of those. You think what it was? It was Elisha, okay? So he went and found Elisha and took care of that. Well, who did the other two? Elisha did. So Elisha went and found Jehu and Hazael and took care of those other things. You see, God had a purpose. He was working all these things together. He had a special plan. And Elijah didn't know it all. He had to live by faith just like you and I. He didn't know that he would never find Jehu. He didn't know that he wouldn't take care of Hazael. But God had a special plan and a purpose behind it all. And we must trust that truth. When things don't look right, when they are not going as we would expect, we must depend upon the truth of God's purpose in it all. Following God's will for your life is the only path to true happiness. The Bible says in Psalm 84, verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. So happy is the man that trusteth in thee. Psalm 2, verse 12, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 40, verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Proverbs 29, verse 18, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Psalm 146, verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Psalm 128, verse 1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Proverbs 28, verse 14, happy is the man that feareth the Lord alway. Proverbs 16, verse 20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Jeremiah 17, verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Luke chapter 1, verse 45, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. You see, that's all the verses I have there on that. But it makes the point. You choose God's will for your life, and that brings happiness. That brings true joy. Knowing that you are following what your Heavenly Father has told you to do. So we see the truth of God's provision. We must depend upon that. The truth of God's power. We must rely upon these truths. God's purpose. And then finally, God's people. Notice this now in the passage, God's people. Do you understand that you're not alone? Elijah felt like he was all alone, but many others desire to serve God and live for him, not just you. And you need to have people in your life who will encourage you to do what is right. And that's one reason for the local church. God's people. And that's the truth that God finished trying to get through to Elijah's thick head there in verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So Elijah didn't realize that. He probably heard that and he thought, wow, I'd like to meet some of them. I don't know where they are. But God says, there's still 7,000? I'm sure that was an encouragement. 7,000? Yeah. That's a lot of people. And God was trying to get that final truth home to Elijah. And I believe it's these truths that really gave him what he needed to get back on the way, to go return on his way and obey. Finally, the truth of God's people. I have enjoyed, even though we've not been here very much, I enjoy listening to the preaching at Faith Bible Church and staying connected in that way as much as I'm able over the last several years. And I think back on some of the preaching that pastor has done, and I think back on some conversations that he and I have had, and I think this is very appropriate to even what we're thinking about here in a few moments with the church. Because I have it in my notes, partnership and accountability are very important. And I don't know where that came from. I don't know that it was from conversation that he and I had or from preaching even that I've heard him do, but I know he's been stressing that. I know that's been a burden on his heart, the partnership and accountability, and how God's people provide that. And that's the truth that I see God trying to get through to Elijah here. He understood he needed a partner. He understood there that he needed Elisha. And that is a pattern in the Bible. I remember back in Bible college, they always said it. Elijah's with Elisha's, and Paul's training Timothy's. And I'm not trying to really persuade anyone's thinking as far as what we're going to talk to in a moment, but I see the truth coming out here in God's Word. And I wrote this message a while ago, and we see God's people are very important. And we need each other. We need to support one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to be accountable to one another. We need to partner up together. There's strength in numbers, and we see that pattern in the Word of God. And God was trying to help Elijah see that truth here as well. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. And so do you have someone in your life who is a real partner? Do you have someone in your life who you can really share deep things with, spiritual needs with, pray together with? God intends that you have someone like that, and that you that you take advantage of God's people. We see that pattern in God's word. I think of Moses when they were fighting the Amalekites. Joshua was in the valley fighting, and of course Moses had on one side Aaron and on the other Hur to help him hold up his hands for the victory to continue. And God has given us his people. He's given us each other for that reason, that we would hold each other up, that we would partner together, that we would be accountable to one another and help each other go forward for the victory for the cause of Christ. Iron sharpeneth iron, the Bible says. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, two are better than one. Hebrews chapter 10, let us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Once again, God's people are very important. Galatians chapter 6, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so that is a final truth, I believe, God was trying to get through Elijah. These were truths that he needed to depend upon. It was in a dark time, a difficult time for him. And the way that God brought him out of it was by showing him, Elijah, I'm going to provide all your needs. Elijah, my power is not diminished. I am still in control. Elijah, you have a purpose to fulfill. There's a special plan I have for you. And you need to go, return on your way now, and obey. And God's people still are here. God's people still exist. You're not the only one. And I'm going to give you Elisha. And so that is what Elijah went and did then. He returned on his way and he obeyed God, what he had called him to do. And he did it depending upon these truths that God had showed him. And so as we go into this week, whatever you may face, whatever I may face, would we depend upon these same truths? God's going to provide all your needs. God's given us the power that we need to do what's right. God has a purpose for us to fulfill. And God's people are here to help. They're very, very important. And it's a wonderful thing. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this challenge and these truths from 1 Kings chapter 19. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to preach this message here. I remember preaching it back this summer and seeing you use it. And Lord, would you continue to use it in my heart as I'll face things this week and I have to choose to depend upon this truth, these truths that you showed Elijah. Lord, I pray that for folks here tonight as well. Some may face something at work. Some may face something in their family. I don't know what it would be. But Lord, would you help us all to depend upon these truths? And would you help us to go and return on the way that we're supposed to be and just obey you? We ask for your help in these things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, at this time, Brother Ken, if you would please...